which many of you likely read, but I'll read it again just so it's fresh in our minds as he comes up to speak to us. And he's going to share his testimony. He's going to answer a couple of questions that we posed to him to help him express his heart for youth ministry and some of his engagement around the youth report. So those are the two questions we asked him to also talk about. We had a youth report that was a congregational-wide compilation of ideas and thoughts and hopes from our church. We put it into a report, and we gave that to our candidates. So Ryan's had a chance to read that, to engage with that, and he's going to have a chance to comment on that as well this morning. And then, just so we know what's happening after service, we do have a free pizza lunch. And then after that, we have a Q&A where Ryan will be answering questions that have been taken from the floor, just so we all know what is happening. After that, there is another meeting where we will be voting on Ryan together, just so we are all aware. Thank you. Yes, so childcare throughout this morning. So here is Ryan's bio. He wrote it in the first person, so I'm going to be converting here. Ryan's name is Ryan. He lives in Kitchener with his wife Melinda and three kids, Oliver, who's 5, Maya, who's 3, and Simon, who is 1. He's been working with youth for more than half of his life. A majority of that time was with a local organization called Ray of Hope in their youth addiction program. And during that time, he went back to school and became a registered psychotherapist. His experience working with youth is not primarily in traditional youth ministry per se, but he's learned how to build relationships with youth and their parents, as well as how to love the outcasts and misfits of society who are sometimes harder to love. He's a straightforward person who wears his heart on his sleeve. He loves building relationships over coffee and gluten-free baked goods. We do have gluten-free pizza, right? Yes, we do. Good. As well as discussing faith, spirituality, life, and how well the Leafs will do or not do this year. So with that, we'll welcome Ryan to come and speak to us. Thank you, Ryan.
All right. Okay.
I'm just going to pray for you real quick.
All right. Good, good.
Father, we thank you for Ryan. We thank you for the courage it takes to come into a community and to candidate. We pray that you would calm his heart and his mind. Spirit, be with him as he speaks what you have laid on his heart to speak. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless
you. All right. Thank you. Am I on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Good. Or not good, depending on. So, as you said, my name is Ryan, and I Schmidtke. I live in Kitchener with my wife, Melinda, and our 3 kids who they blend in here, so it's good. Now, I'm supposed to kind of squish 36 years of life into about 10 minutes, so I'm going to try to. This is a very condensed version of my life right now. So let's just get into it then. I grew up going to church my whole life, and I don't know why, because that's just what we did on Sunday mornings. We got up and, you know, we'd go to church, and because the rest of the week, it was just life. It wasn't. Sundays were the only times you really kind of did anything churchy. And I didn't grow up going to a Mennonite church, however, but I did grow up in Elmira. So it's kind of the same thing, I think. But when I was 15 years old, I started counseling at a camp called Conestoga Bible Camp. And that's where I became a Christian. It's where I met Jesus for the first time, and it was something personal. It wasn't just my parents' faith. It was something that I was like, no, this is real, this is legit, and this is something that I want to carry on and make my own. And so at camp, I had, there was older counselors, and there were camp directors who just ministered to me. Over the years, I had a great relationship with my youth pastor at the time, so I really started to see how valuable that is to have someone or some people, in my case, who would just be willing to devote their time, their energy, and their lives just to kind of helping me grow. During that time, I figured that after high school, I was going to become a youth pastor. And that's not quite how it turned out, so stay tuned. So I knew that great relationships were key, but I also knew that graduating high school, I wasn't quite ready to be a youth pastor. I wasn't mature enough. I didn't have enough life experience. So I decided to work. And so for about 3.5 years, I worked as a general laborer doing things from building cell phone towers to welding to kind of all sorts of stuff. But during this time, you know, I was still helping out with youth group. I got involved with a church called the Embassy, which was meeting at the universities, and I was on their leadership team. And so I was always kind of, even though I wasn't working with youth at that time, I was still connected with youth a lot. And when I was around 23, I just kind of got this call. It wasn't like a voice, and it wasn't like a Road to Damascus experience where I just God shone his light on me. But it was more just like a started with like just tugs at my heart and saying like, this is the time. I want you to start working with youth. So I was like, all right, okay. I'll listen, I guess, and begrudgingly, and because it was a complete change. It was going from something that I'd been doing for the last 3.5 years to going into something completely different. So I called up some friends, and they said, Ray of Hope is looking to hire. I said, okay. And they're like, just talk about your camp experience, because that's what they want. They want people who know how to like work with kids and know how to like actually build relationships. They're not looking for people who want to be a police officer. They want people who care and love, and not saying the police officers don't. Okay, that's gonna give me hot water. That's what I did. I went in and just kind of was like, "Well, how would you deal with this situation?" And I said, "I don't know. But I'm willing to learn." And so camp was my foundation of my faith. That's where it was rooted, and that's where it kind of really started. But then working at Ray of Hope, that's where it grew. And that's kind of where I was challenged with a lot of the conceptions and ideas that I thought I had figured out at 17, that I figured I knew everything about everything. And it turns out I didn't. And because this was the first time where I was constantly surrounded and had to work with people who were not like me. And that's challenging. I mean, I grew up in Elmira, right? Everyone kind of was like me. And this was the first time that I was actually confronted with people who thought differently than I did, who may have had no faith or were from a different faith background, who were addicted to drugs, who had serious mental health issues, who were criminals, were homeless, who were gay, and this was the first time that I dealt with things outside of my sphere. And it made me realize that if I really wanted to follow, like, especially the red parts of the Bible, I needed to work to love people, and it wasn't just going to be easy. And because it's easy when everyone thinks like you and looks like you and talks like you and has kind of the same ideas. But when people start clashing, it's like that's when it's like, okay, so this stuff isn't as easy as I thought when I was 16, 17 and was completely surrounded by people who just thought like me. And I remember early on in my work there, I was reading a case file of a youth. And they had just done some horrible things. And I broke down, I just started to cry, and one of the older staff there came and we started talking about this. And I said, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how I'm supposed to work with this person. And he just said, you just gotta look at them the way Jesus did. You just gotta look at them as people. Okay. And that's very much easier said than done. But to actually have to put that into practice, that was hard. And But that was something that kind of stuck with me. And to really look at people as people and not as issues, not looking at them as, oh, well, this person's this and this person's that. It's, no, they're a person. And that stuck with me because I needed to remember that a lot. I probably will need to remember that today, and I will probably need to remember that for the rest of my life, because there are times where I was working with kids who they made it so hard to love, and you just had to be humble, and you just had to take it. And it's different when you're a, because I didn't really have a lot of choice in the interactions I had with these kids, and you know. It's, you know, if they call you a name, it's like, okay, one thing. But when they're like punching you and biting you and spitting on you and all that stuff, it's like, I love you. And it was difficult, but it challenged me and it made me grow and it made me see things in a completely different light and different perspectives. So 2 years after I started working at Ray of Hope, they opened up this new program called Youth 180, and it was an addictions treatment program. It's a residential program, so kids... young guys, they would come and live there from all over Ontario. I worked with kids from Windsor to Sault Ste. Marie to everything. They came and lived for 4 to 6 months. And what they wanted was they wanted someone to work there who knew how to build relationship. And because when I went in for my interview, they're just like, what do you know about addictions? And I said, nothing. So and they hired me anyway, so joke's on them. And so that's what I did. I focused on the relational aspect of that, and I found out that a lot can be changed and covered when you're just an ear or you're a shoulder to cry on, and you don't necessarily need to try to fix people's problems, but you can just be that person for them, that safe place. So that's what I did. I went to Youth 180. I worked there for many years. I was encouraged strongly by my higher-ups to go back to school. So I ended up going back to school for addictions at McMaster. And I met a girl and got married, all that kind of thing. On a side note, I met her at the embassy at a Bible study. So go to Bible study. And we got married, had kids. There was a time where we moved away. We came home, went back to Ray of Hope. But throughout that whole process, I was working with youth, and I just loved working with kids. And it's just this thing that I love. But last summer, so in 2018, I just started to get burnout. And as a counselor and a therapist, I had to realize that I was at a place where I needed to take a break. I needed to take a step away because I knew that I was going to potentially cause more harm than good. Because when you're a counselor and you don't care, you can only kind of fake that for so long. And so I didn't quite know what to do, but I knew I needed to do something different, even if it was for a short period of time. So I prayed about it, and I was like, well, what would Jesus do? So I became a carpenter. And zing. So I... So for the last year, I've been working as a carpenter, and I've enjoyed my time there. It's been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot of things, but it's not my passion in life. I know more now than I did about how to build things and how to, you know, properly do drywall and all that stuff. But it's just not what I love. That makes sense. So last spring of this year, I kind of got that tugging on my heart again about, like, let's work with youth again. Come on, man. Like, you know this isn't really what you want to do. I was like, okay. But I was like, okay, I'm going to at least be be open to the possibility of something coming up. And because I knew I needed to do something different. If I was going to work again with youth full-time, I couldn't just do addictions and mental health again. Working with youth in and of itself has its challenges. But then when you put mental health and addictions issues on top of being a teenager, it has just more challenges. And it could have been easy for me to kind of slide into that field again, but I knew that wasn't what would be best for me or for my family or for those kids. And so I just said, no, I'm just gonna, when an opportunity comes up, that's when an opportunity comes up. And lo and behold, one day I opened up my email and there was a email from talking about this little church in Kitchener called The Gathering. And I was like, huh. So I looked at it and I was like, wow, this sounds like me. That sounds like something I'd love. So I sent it off to my wife and said, what do you think? And we talked about it and discussed it. And I decided that this is something that I want to pursue. And I know it'll be a bit of a challenge. And I know it's a big kind of step for us to take. But I could not pass it up. And I just, this was, God was just like, come on, man, you can do this. And I ho-hummed for quite a while and about it. And I ultimately said, okay, let's do this. And so I applied, and you know what? Here we are. I actually thought that I had completely bombed the application and my interview. But no, I guess not. So here we are, and that's kind of like bringing you up to speed about kind of like where I am and where my experience working with kids and how my faith has kind of shaped that. And this is, like I said, a very condensed version because there's so much more I could have shared. And if you want to hear more about that, feel free to ask me. Maybe some of you will later. But Steve had kind of alluded to that there's two questions that they asked me to answer, and it was, describe your call to ministry is the first one. So I'm just going to kind of jump into that right now. And it was, like I said earlier, I thought I was going to be a youth pastor right away, and but that's not how it worked out. And today, I still work kind of part-time with youth as a psychotherapist, very, very limited. But I just remember that people, when I was working at Ray of Hope, people would often come up to me and say, hey, have you ever thought about doing ministry? And I was like, I am doing ministry. And they're like, no, like real ministry. And I was like, I know what you mean, but what do you mean? And like in a church, like with youth. And I want to share a story. This one youth I was working with, he purposely tried to antagonize me. He knew I was a Christian, and he was an atheist, and he would just push buttons and push buttons and push buttons and push buttons. And he also cheered for the Bruins, which didn't help. But we, this one day, we're walking, and he just said, hey, Ryan, I got a question for you. And in my head, I'm like, oh, here we go. Yes. And he's like, you just seem to be such a chill guy. Like, nothing really seems to upset you or make you really mad. He's like, I know you get mad at times, but you don't, like, lose it. You don't get really angry. And I was like, okay, there's no question, so what's the question? He's like, how do you do that? Why is that? So I thought about it for a second, and I said, well, I have an answer for you, but I know you're not going to like it. He's like, what is it? I was like, it's because of my relationship with Jesus. That's it. And he paused and he thought about it for a second and then he just looked at me and he said, is there anything else? And I was like, I'm sorry, dude. I haven't found it yet, but if you do, you just let me know, okay? That's ministry, being able to have those conversations and have those, just to be a witness through my life and through my actions with these kids and developing and devoting time with them. But being away, doing carpentry, it made me miss it, working with kids. But I did need a break. Through that time, my passion for working with kids never left. I was working with our youth group at the church I was attending up until last November, where I suffered a concussion. And so I had to take a break from most things for about 3 months. And then that was one of those things I just kind of had to give away for this season and say, no, I'm just going to focus on getting better and my family and going back to work. But when God started really pulling at that in the springtime, I was like, I'm over the worst of it. All right, let's see what this kind of road can take us on. And so we jumped into it, and when the gathering job came up, it just seemed perfect for me and my skill set and my abilities, at least I think so. And when I talked to my wife about it, and she said, I think you'd be great at it, and I can definitely see you doing that more than I can see you being a carpenter, which I don't know what that says about my carpentry skills, but she knows my heart, and she knows me better probably than anyone, so I'll trust her judgment on that. So the second part was after reading the youth report. How many actually read it? Okay, all right, good. It was thrilling. Because I love stuff like that. So after reading the youth report, how do you envision us working at youth ministry here together? And one of the key things for me was relationship. That was a huge theme throughout the report. And it seemed that the relationship aspect that the gathering wants to have is more important than a program. And that was key, because it's like if someone wanted to come in and just do a program, like that's not me, because I don't necessarily know the youth. I don't know what they need. I don't know what they like. I don't know all these things. So I need to come in, right, get to know the kids. And I was like, okay, that's great. They don't want me just to have like a 3-year plan for the ministry for the next little while. And if you're also like me and you like reading like Psychology Today or reports about studies done on things, no? Okay. Well, if you're like me and you do like to do that, study after study, and so the research and my own anecdotal evidence from my experience working as a counselor is the number one indicator for positive outcomes in therapy is the relationship between the therapist and the client. And it's not what techniques are used, it's not how much education the counselor has, it's not how cool the office is, and if they have beanbag chairs, it's the relationship. And I can attest to that in my own working experience, as the kids who were the most successful had a good relationship with the therapist and had good relationships when they went home. And that's key. And that's one of the things where my experience with Ray of Hope, I had to do a lot of mediated talks and conversations between parents and their kids. A lot of strained relationships. And it was very delicate, and it was very, very emotional, and it was very hard for both parties. And I did work with... So during my time at Ray of Hope, about 13 years, the hardest youths that I had to work with were kids who grew up in the church. And that's because by the time they came to us to get help, they were so far entrenched, because on top of, you know, the mental health and addictions, they had this layer of guilt and shame, and, you know, we can't get help because, you know, dad's an elder. We don't want anyone to know. And that's this, it's something that broke my heart as someone who also grew up in church. But it also gave me an opportunity to be like, okay, let's break down some of these walls. I know where you're coming from. Let's talk. Another theme that was in the report was the identity formation in creating a space to let kids kind of grow up to who they are and define a faith, just like I did when I was at camp, finding a faith that was their own and not their parents. When I, one of the best things about being a therapist is that I don't tell people what to do. And that's funny because I'm off the hook for a lot, but they, kids would come and they said the biggest chip on their shoulder is like, I don't like being told what to do. Okay, so what do you want to do? I don't know. It's like, okay, can you just tell me? No, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Well, why not? Well, because one, I'm not going to be around you forever. You're going to need to learn how to start to make some choices and some decisions. Okay, and what's the second one? I was like, if this blows up in your face, you're going to blame me, and that's not how I roll. So just like that, I look at it as when kids come to, the kids want to develop their own faith apart from their parents. Great. But what's really the difference if they come to a youth group and then they try to, and then they basically just have the exact same faith and story as their youth pastor? It's like, no, I see it as being able to help kids grow, to challenge them, to ask them questions, to allow them that space where they can converse and talk and be encouraged. And it's not about telling people what to do. It's about just being in that relationship. And I have just benefited so much from my time as a youth with pastors and with mentors who gave me that space to kind of develop my own. And weren't telling me what to do, weren't telling me how to think, weren't telling me how to be. And that, to me, was one of the most influential parts. And it creates a place for kids to kind of ask tough questions, develop a personality, develop their own identity. And to me, it was invaluable, and I know it can be invaluable to these youth as well. I'm done. I don't know what else to do right now.
As far as closing the service, just letting everyone know that this is a different vibe. We're not going to bring the band up and sing another song. We're trying to move through the morning as quickly as possible. So I'm going to close off in a word of prayer, in a benediction, and then hopefully many of you can stick around. We're going to have some pizza at the back, and we'll eat our pizza, and then we'll come back, and Ryan gets to talk a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
But he needs to refuel and get some water in him, and we'll come on back and do this all over again. We're hoping for about a 45-minute Q&A session, just so you know, timing-wise, how much more we're asking you to stick around for. And we're going to try to keep our dinner time, our lunch time, as quick as possible, which is why we went with pizza. We can all eat a piece of pizza or two quickly and come on back. So I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing and release. If you aren't sticking around for the Q&A, feel free to head out. Feel free to grab a piece of pizza and head out. We're so thankful that you came, and we're so thankful for Ryan for sharing. So I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to listen, for the opportunity to hear the things that you put on Ryan's heart to share with us. We know it takes courage to speak our story, to speak of the ways that you have engaged and interacted with us, and to do that in front of people who we don't know yet. And so we thank you for Ryan's courage and sharing. And Father, we pray that as you continue to help us discern and think through a fit here, we pray that you would bless us. Bless us around the table. Give us open eyes and open ears to listen to ourselves, our voice, to listen to Ryan and his voice, and then ultimately to listen to you and your voice in this process. We pray this in Jesus' name. We know that you love our church, that you care about our church, and you have our future in mind. So we thank you, God. Amen. God bless you all.
From him, through him, and to him are all things. To God be the glory. His word endures from beginning to end. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Greater is the one who lives in me. Greater is the love of Jesus. Greater than my sin. Greater than the grave. Above all other thrones. Above all other names. His power.